Hey, what's up, you guys? This is Bert. I'm the lead pastor at True North Community Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. I'm going to have a little something to say to you at the end, but for now, let's dive in. So here's the deal. If you were here last week with us, you heard us talking a little bit about how this really is the most wonderful time of the year, but it is also the most stressful time of the year. And it's the most stressful time of the year for all the reasons we know, and for some reasons that some folks don't often think about. The reasons we know that make it stressful are, you know, all the stuff we talk about. We talk about how we've got so much shopping to do. You know, we've got lists. And even if we are banging it out on Amazon and having it delivered to our house, I mean, the UPS guy came to my house yesterday. He had like six boxes. It was ridiculous. So even if we're getting it all delivered to our house, you know, we're doing our shopping online, we still have lists that we got to figure out. We're running errands. We're running around. We're decorating stuff. We're baking stuff. We're getting ready to cook. We're preparing to see family members that maybe we didn't really, we're not that thrilled about seeing. Some of us are preparing to travel. Like, that's the stuff that you know about. That's what makes Christmas a crazy season for everybody. What we don't often think about is that if there's anything going wrong in your life right now, if there's any presenting difficulty or any issue that you're struggling with personally right now, Christmas has a wonderful way of making that thing a lot worse. If you're in the middle of a financial crisis right now, the holidays are not fun. If you're in the middle of a health crisis, if somebody you know is really, really sick, if somebody's incarcerated, if your marriage is falling apart, if your career is falling apart, if you're estranged from your children, if you're suffering with anxiety, if there's depression, if there's any number of things, lots and lots of things that we struggle with during the other 11 months of the year, for some reason, December has a way of making those things really, really difficult. And everybody, you get that feeling sometimes that everybody around you is, you know, just, you know, chugging their way through Christmas and having a blast and really enjoying the season. And all you can think about is that one thing. You ever been there? There's that one thing that's just very, very wrong in your life. And it just, you know, you forget about it from time to time and you get distracted. But as soon as you pick your head up, boom, there it is again. And if I could just be confessional with you guys, just be transparent with you, I have never in my life struggled with depression before, but it is here. I mean, I'm in the middle of a really tough season personally, and I'm trying. Like, I'm trying to just enjoy Christmas and keep it together, but it's been difficult. It's been really difficult. And so some of you have been there, and you're thinking, well, you know, maybe if I was a better Christian, I wouldn't struggle with anxiety and or depression or with whatever I'm struggling with. And I'm here to tell you, like, I'm trying to find that appropriately, like, right line to share and go, you know, like, I don't want to be up here having a nervous breakdown on Sunday. That'd be awkward. But I also don't want to be up here every Sunday pretending I've got it all together and making you think that, like, the pastor is some untouchable, holier than, like, I'm struggling just the same as you are in this season. And if you could, I pray for you. If you could pray for me, that would rock. So we're in the middle of a difficult season. This season brings with it stimulus. So we talked a little bit last week about how we could get through this season with our faith and our sanity intact, and we took a lesson from a very unusual place. If you were here last week, you heard us talking a little bit about World War II. We actually jumped back for a moment to Auschwitz, which was the place of imprisonment for a man named Dr. Viktor Frankl, a Viennese psychiatrist, who cared for the men in his unit at Auschwitz. And one at a time, as he talked to these guys and helped them to maintain some sort of mental stability in probably the world's worst situation to be in, what we found was that Viktor Frankl was perhaps the first person ever to identify and talk about the space between the stimulus and the response. The space between the stimulus and the response, space in which we can choose how the stimulus affects us. If you weren't here, let me break that down real quick. If you have a dog and you roll up a newspaper and you strike that dog on its rear end, you're going to get one of two responses from the dog. The response that you're going to get, one of the two responses you're going to get is called fight or flight. Have you heard of that? You heard of the fight or flight response? What that means is, in an instant, if you hit the dog with the paper, the dog is either going to cower and shrink back from you, or the dog is going to get its back up and growl and bark at you and try to bite you. That response, that fight or flight response, takes place in a split second. The dog doesn't think about it. The dog doesn't go,
you have stricken me. Why, human? Should I be angry? Should I retreat? I must ponder this. I'll see my therapist. The dog doesn't think that. The dog just reacts, yes? It's instantaneous. The dog doesn't get to decide. What Viktor Frankl got to in a concentration camp talking to these guys was, you can decide how the stimulus affects you. Yes, they're treating you terribly. Yes, they're doing awful things to you. But the one thing they can never take away from you is your choice, your ability to choose how these things are going to affect you and what it's going to do to you mentally. What he's saying is, stimulus is going to come our way. Things are going to get difficult at Christmas, but you don't have to go fight or flight instantaneously. You can choose, you and I, with God's help, we can choose how the stimulus will affect us. At some point in at Christmas, you'll come across somebody who you know or acquainted with or are related to, and maybe you've said about this person, he just makes me so angry, or she makes me so frustrated. What Viktor Frankl is saying to us is that no one can make you angry without your permission. No one can make you frustrated without your permission. You, when they make that snarky comment, when they give you that language that you don't like to be spoken to in, that tone of voice that you don't like to be spoken to in, when they hit you with that passive-aggressive body language, when they do whatever they do that makes you so angry, you can receive that stimulus, and you don't have to go fight or flight. You don't have to cower and retreat. You don't have to get your back up and engage in an argument. You can just go, you know what? I'm going to let that roll off my back. I'm going to pray for that person, even if they're not being nice to me. You can choose that in the middle of this. I'm not saying it's easy, but it is possible. And to kind of observe that, we dialed it back to the very first Christmas. Last week, we talked about Mary, who took in some pretty powerful stimulus, okay, that first night when she was visited by the angel. Gabriel shows up in her bedroom. She's a teenage girl. She's engaged to be married, but she's still a virgin. And the angel says, hey, guess what, Mary? I know you're still a virgin and everything, but you're pregnant. And you're going to have some awkward conversations, but you're going to have to just suck that up because you're pregnant and you're carrying the Son of God. Have a great day. We'll see you later. So now Mary's like, okay, that's some pretty powerful stimulus. That's kind of a freak out moment right there. And then Joseph has the same thing happen. Joseph finds out, hey, Joseph, guess what? Yeah, we know you're engaged, but your fiance, with whom you've never been intimate, is now pregnant. Okay, so now you've got a kind of decision to make, and you got some powerful stuff. So if you've ever wondered, wow, have the holidays always been difficult? Yeah, they were stressful right from the beginning. From the very first Christmas ever, it was difficult. Okay, and what we find in the scriptures, when we dialed it back last week, it says in the scriptures that Mary pondered all these things in her heart and thought about them often. Mary somehow found space between the stimulus and the response. She didn't just react and fight or flight it and have a nervous breakdown. She thought about it and responded. Joseph, same thing we find in the scriptures. As he carefully considered these things, what we're learning, not just from Dr. Viktor Frankl, but from the Word of God, is that there's room for us, even in the middle of this crazy season, to decide how the stimulus will affect us. Today we're going to talk a little bit about financial pressure, because that's one of the main forms of stimulus that comes our way at this time every year. We all feel financial pressure in December. It starts for obvious reasons. We got to buy some presents for people, man. We got to go out and buy gifts for people. We've got a list of people that we have to buy some gifts for, and we've got to buy gifts at an equitable rate. We have to try to buy gifts, and this takes management. This takes like a spreadsheet, okay? This is not easy. We have to buy gifts at an equitable rate so that the other people in our lives are receiving gifts that are of similar or equal to value than the gifts we're giving them. You ever been on the receiving end of a gift and one gift was way more expensive than the other? You ever done that? All it takes is once, and then from then on, you're like, okay, it's a $40 limit from now on, okay? Have you done that? Are there people in your life? Come on, you say, okay, $40 limit. And then at some point, they if they overdo the limit, you're like, oh, come. If somebody gets you, if it's agreed upon $40 limit, and they buy you a $75 gift, you don't go, woohoo, bonus, man, extra nice gift for me. You don't do that. You go, oh, come on, man, we said it was a $40, and I only got you a $40 gift, and now what did you do? Right? Let me ask you a question. Would you, in that exchange, would you rather be on the receiving end of the more expensive gift, or would you rather give the more expensive gift? Raise your hand if you'd rather receive the more expensive gift. A few of you. Okay, I respect their honesty. I like that. Carry on. Some of you are like, jackpot, extra, nice. I can respect it. I get that. Raise your hand if you'd rather give the more expensive gift. Yeah, you'd rather give the more expensive gift because it's awkward. To receive the more expensive gift, you go, oh, come on, I didn't do that for you, and now you did it for me, and now it's like, and it kind of jacks up gift giving, doesn't it? It just messes up the whole thing. Like, in theory, we're supposed to give freely and receive freely with no expectation, but all of a sudden, there's this pressure to make it equitable. So what I want to do, as that pressure comes to you this Christmas, I want to encourage you with this, okay? When that stimulus appears, here's what you're going to do. You're going to decide. Choose now. This Christmas, expect nothing. Expect nothing. And there's a couple of kids in there like, what? Easy, we'll get to you, okay? If you're an adult, expect nothing. Actually, this works if you're a kid too. Don't expect anything. Don't make it all about that. Decide for yourself. If anyone gives me a gift, I am not going to ponder its value. I'm just going to receive it as an act of love. Everyone with me? Anytime somebody gives me something, I'm just going to receive it freely as an act of love. I go, thank you so much. And I'm not going to think, wow, that's a $10 gift and I got you a $50 gift and lame. Like, I'm not going to think that. I'm just going to think, thank you so much. And when you give a gift, decide now. When you give a gift, regardless of its value, even if it's a small thing, give that gift in love and with caring and decide now. You will feel no shame with regard to its value or lack thereof. Choose now. Expect nothing. Jesus is your gift this Christmas. The Lord is your gift. You got eternal life. Celebrate in that for a minute. Everyone with me? There's a couple kids in the room again, like, nope. I'm with you, kids. I get it. I understand that. When I was a kid, Christmas was all about the toys. It was all about the presents. I get it. When I was little, and I knew about the baby Jesus. I had heard about Jesus. I had seen the Jesus is the reason for the season bumper stickers. I knew. I got that. I got it. Okay? I understand that. I knew about Jesus. But I'm just saying, for me, as a kid, it was about the presents. And some of you are in the same exact spot. It changes as you get older. For now, make a decision. I'm going to expect nothing, and I'm going to give the gifts I give freely and from a pure heart without worrying or being embarrassed about their value. That's the spirit in which we are to give. Everyone with me? We can choose to see things that way. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Make it a decision. Decide when that pressure comes your way, you're going to give freely and expect nothing in return. There's also financial pressure because we have to provide, right? So when we're a kid, we know it's all about the presents. But when you get to be an adult, it changes, particularly if and when you become a parent. Now, some of you are in that in-between stage. You're an adult, but you're not yet a parent. So you're in your 20s, maybe you're in your 30s. You don't have kids of your own. Maybe you'll never, that's okay, you know. But so you're in that place where you really like being good to other people and blessing other people, but you still kind of want to get hooked up yourself. That's okay too, all right? No problem with that. But when you become a parent, if and when you become a parent, the whole thing changes, and it stops being about what you can get, and it really starts being about what you can provide. And right now at this time of year, a lot of people in this room are feeling pressure to provide. Because our kids, probably regardless of our income level or their status or age, I think probably everybody at some point has kids who want you to buy things for them that are beyond what you can afford. All of our kids at some point want things that are beyond what we can afford. And so what happens is we feel financial pressure. We want to provide. We want them to have that miraculous whoa moment on Christmas morning where they open something wonderful and they're excited and they're thrilled. But the truth is we can't always afford to give them every single thing they want. And if that Christmas list is a mile long, and if you've been hearing wonderful stories about how Billy and Susie's parents are going to get them this and that and this and that, and you're pondering murdering Billy and Susie's parents, it gets awkward, right? You're thinking about killing those people because they're just, and so what happens is we all, and this is interesting, we all feel this pressure at this time of year, almost regardless of our income level. We all feel this pressure regardless of our income level. Now, some of you are curious about that statement because you're thinking, what do you mean regardless of our income level? If I made a lot more money, I wouldn't be feeling this pressure. That's not necessarily true, and here's why. In America, more often than not, lifestyle chases income. Lifestyle chases income. Here's what I mean. Let's say you earn this much money. However much money this is your income. What that means is to live within your means, you have to spend this much or less. Did everyone follow that? Some people spend this much, and so now they're living beyond their means. So now they're in debt. Every year that goes by, they go more and more in debt, and they are growing poorer every year instead of growing wealthier every year. That's a whole nother sermon. We're not going to talk about that today. We're just going to assume you understand that if you make $50,000 a year, you have to spend $49.99 or less per year. Everyone with me? Tell me you understand that, church. Don't make me have to shift gears on you now, all right? To live within your means, you have to spend less than what you earn. But what happens is our lifestyle is always bumping up against the ceiling of our income. So if we're going to take a vacation, and it's, woohoo, good news. Hey, we're going to take a cruise, everybody. The first question is, oh, cool. Can we get an exterior room with a balcony so we can see some daylight, or are we going to be in an indoor closet on the inside of the ship? Well, sorry, kids, you're going to be in a closet. And some of you are like, cruise? I've never been on a cruise before in my life. I'm going to Disney World and I'm staying off-site. So now maybe you're here and you're going, okay, hey, this is it. Hey, if we're going to Disney World, can we stay here? Can we do this? Can we upgrade? Can we do this? No, I'm sorry, this is it. Others of you are like, Disney? I can't go to Disney. I'm going to Jersey Shore, okay? I'm going to the shore for 2 days and I'm wondering, can I stay on the beach or do I have to walk to the beach a couple blocks? And others of you are like, I'm going to Smith Point. I got a beach pass for the day. That's it, man. That's what's up. That's your vacation. Enjoy it. We'll stop at Subway and get a sandwich. That's what's up for you. And look at wherever you are, whatever the vacation, that's cool. Nothing wrong with that. Whatever the vacation looks like, rejoice in it. The point is there's always a ceiling. So for some folks, the ceiling is up here. For some folks, the ceiling is up here. Here is what you make and here is what you want to spend. They're always bumping into each other. Now, from time to time, You'll find a little extra money in your life. From time to time, you'll get a raise or something will happen, and your income level will do this, like this. Maybe you'll get a raise or you'll get a bonus or someone will leave you some money, or for some reason, you'll get a little bit more money in your life, and now there's space. Do you see the space? Observe the space. Look. There's space now between your lifestyle and your income. Now, what we ought to do in that moment, what we should do in that moment is say, oh, thank the Lord, there's a little margin that takes a little of the pressure off. I'm going to save now. I'm going to put some money in the bank. I'm going to invest something for a rainy day. I'm going to keep some money aside so that I'm not feeling all that pressure. I've got a little margin. Now I can be generous. Now I can live an outward bound life and not be all about me. I can be a blessing to others. I can do some great things with that margin. But typically in the United States, that's not what happens. Typically, lifestyle chases income. Which means the minute there's a like this, the lifestyle goes boop, 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 bang. Everyone with me? Oh, guess what, Smith's Point? We're going to Disney. Bang. Bang, bang, bang. Disney, hey, we're on a cruise. Bang, bang, bang. Hey, we're on an exterior room at the cruise. Whatever it is, all the way up the ladder, no matter how much you earn or how many raises you get, there's always something else to upgrade. And so that's why some of you are making $50,000 a year and you feel incredible financial pressure. And there's other people in the room making $150,000 a year and they're also feeling incredible financial pressure. And you're making 50, unable to fathom how a person who makes 150K could feel financial pressure. Because you're just thinking, if I had 150K, I'd have an extra 100 grand a year. That'd be awesome. Right? Like you don't want an extra 100 grand a year. Shut up. Okay, so. But when lifestyle chases income all the way up the ladder, we feel pressure at every turn. Pressure to provide. Things get very, very difficult this time of year when we can't provide the way we wish we could. So what we're going to do is we're going to take that stimulus and we're going to decide today how to handle it. We're going to make a choice. I'm going to encourage you today to decide something. Choose today that you are going to rejoice in whatever it is that you can provide for your kids and your family. You're just going to rejoice like crazy in whatever it is you can provide. You're not going to give a gift and be embarrassed because it's not the full-blown upgraded thing that they wanted. You're not going to give a gift. You're not going to give a gift and be sad about it because you couldn't. You're just going to rejoice in everything that you can provide for your kids. Because the truth is, the greatest things you provide for your kids have nothing to do with what's wrapped up in those little boxes on Christmas morning. What you provide for your kids is love and stability. And if you're able to model what it means to live within your means, that's enormous. Celebrate whatever it is you're able to do. And I just want to say a quick word to you single parents out there. I know, this season is the worst when it comes to that stuff. That pressure is enormous, especially if things are difficult between you and the other parent. I know. I don't even know what to say about that. I just know that it must be really, really difficult. So in that moment, decide whatever it is you're able to provide, whatever it is you can do for those around you, just rejoice in whatever it is you can do and love those who receive from you fully and without expectation. And don't inject shame into the situation. I know that pressure is there. You can choose what to do with that stimulus. Everyone with me? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, even if you can't afford what Billy and Susie's parents are going to get. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And if you really, really want to kick this stimulus to the curb, if you seriously want to be done with this stimulus, with this financial pressure, avail yourself of the most powerful weapon in your arsenal when it comes to financial difficulty: generosity. Learn to live an outward bound life. Decide now you're going to build generosity into your life. Could I just be honest with you? I'm going to just be right up front with you and get up in your face a little bit because I'm your pastor and I feel freedom to do that, okay? Here's what's up. Some of you, you're feeling a lot of financial pressure in 2018 because your income level was here and you lived like it was up here. Some of you are in trouble because you just overspent in 2018. Those are the facts. You can't undo that. You can't dial back the clock and undo what you did in 2018. But you can decide now, and now is the perfect time to decide, that 2019 is going to be different for me. I feel that financial pressure. That financial pressure is coming my way. It makes me feel guilty. It makes me feel selfish. It makes me want to spend more on me and get more for me. And even if it's just to provide more for the people that I'm around, it is pretty well inward focused. What I'm going to do with that stimulus to be inward focused is I'm just going to push back against it and live an outward bound life. The average American in this country right now gives away 2% of their income. That's average unchurched American. That's just normal person. 2% of their income to whatever charity they happen to like. The average church-going American gives about 2.5% to 3%. That's where it is. Now, if you're new, this isn't for you. But if you're a mature believer, we're called to tithe. That's 10%. That's a whole other matter. What I want to challenge you to today is 3%. Do just a little bit north of what the average American is doing. And do the math. And I know right now some of you are getting your back up. Some of you, like, you're new, and you're like, oh, here we go. This is why I don't go to church, because I knew there'd be one of these things, and they're going to pass the collection plate again, and the guy's going to come out on the synthesizer and play some sappy music, and we're all going to make us feel guilty, and then he's going to go spend the money on a private jet. I understand that. I understand that those dudes are out there. I get it. I understand, right? And they're on TV. You see them all the time, and they're just going, oh, hey, seed money. You know, send in $100, and God will bless you with $1,000. Just believe it. And I'm always like, you don't believe it. You don't believe that. If you believe that, you'd send me $100, and God would give you $1,000, and then we'd both be happy. But you don't know if I'm not that guy. If you're new, I haven't had a chance. It's not that you distrust me. You just haven't had a chance. I haven't had a chance to earn your trust yet. And I know that trust is earned. So if you're new, you're thinking, I don't know. Your back is up and you're thinking, I just don't know if this guy is shady or not. So I'll tell you what I tell everybody anytime I talk about giving or generosity. If you don't trust me, that's totally cool. Go give the money away someplace else. Go find somebody you do believe in. Go find an organization or a charity you do believe in and be generous somewhere else. But practice this principle. Decide now. Take 3% of your income. Figure out what you earn. Chop up 3% of that. Get a calculator, okay? Math geniuses, get a calculator. Do the math and say, this is what I've got to give over the course of a year. I'm going to divide that by 52 and build generosity into my life every single week. You will never regret the day you did that. I know, and the next question, I'm just going to get out ahead of this now because somebody's going to email me. Should we tithe on the net or the gross? I don't know. It doesn't say in the Bible. Figure it out for yourself. Stop asking me that. But figure out the 3%. Do it however you want to do it and decide now that you're going to build generosity. You want to kick this stimulus to the curb. Look, I'm going to make you a promise. And this is real talk. You decide now to build generosity into your life, not just spasms of generosity, not just, I feel bad about this, here's some money. Oh, I feel terrible about this, here's some money. I'm talking about building generosity into your life as a matter of course, every week, every month, through a given year. I promise you, when you get to Christmas of next year, you're going to love the way it feels. You're going to love the way it feels. You know how I know? Because we're promised it. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. That's not a promise that if you give 100, you'll make 1,000. That's not a promise of financial remuneration for whatever you give. Generosity is not an investment strategy. That's a promise that there's more than one way to be wealthy. And that if you honor God with your finances, He's going to bless your life. And that's real talk. You will love the way it feels to live an outward bound life, to say to financial pressure, no, not today. I'm not going to let you make me inward focused. I'm not financial pressure. I'm not going to let you make me selfish and retreat into myself. I'm going to say no. I'm going to handle it all together differently and live an outward bound life. You will never regret the day you decided to start honoring God with your finances. I promise you that. And again, you don't believe me? Go try it somewhere else. But if this is your church and you love this place, do that right here. Set it up now and decide. I'm going to figure out what 3% is or whatever percent you want to do. Net or gross, I don't care. Figure it out between you and God. But make a move now so that at this time next year, you're not feeling that stimulus. When you're tithing, when you're honoring God, that financial pressure looks altogether different because it's already in the back of your head. I am blessing lots of people with my generosity. It feels wonderful. You'll never regret it. Aight? Aight, let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for being so good to us and for the opportunity that you've given us now to hear a little bit from your word. Father, we're all under this pressure. We're all feeling this. It's all very, very difficult. And we're all going through stuff in our lives right now. And we need your help to deal with all the different stimulus coming our way. Specifically, Father, for the financial stuff, for the way it affects us, for the way it tears us up emotionally, the way it puts strain on our marriages, the way it puts pressure on us. Help us, Father, one moment at a time and one day at a time to live an outward bound life and to honor you with what you've given us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks once again for taking the time to listen. It's an honor to have you with us. If you'd like to support our church financially and help us continue to put this content out there for free, that would be a really big deal to us. We're completely supported by the contributions of the people that come to our church. And if you'd like to help, you can do that online at truenorthchurch.net/give, or you can do it with a text message. Just text the word True North to 77977 on your cell phone, and you'll get a prompt leading you through how to do that. Thanks again for dialing in. See you soon. Bye-bye.